They're in warfare. And look at 1 Timothy. I want us to start in verse 18, which is going to lead on into chapter 2. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Now, tonight I've titled the message, "How to Pray for Vladimir Putin and Xi Ping or Jinping." You say, why is that the title of the message? How to pray for Putin and the president of China? And I would say you could pray for President Biden. You could pray for any leader. This passage talks about that we're to pray for all that are in authority, aren't we? And why do we need to pray for all that are in authority? Well, because they do have influence on many things, don't they? And we're to pray for something specific tonight. And I want us to break down this passage a little bit and what Paul is encouraging them to consider, because since Thursday and the invasion in Ukraine, I have just been, wow, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Maybe that's been on your mind. You know, you recognize there are world leaders involved that have nuclear weapons, and it's been a long time since people in America have been thinking about what could happen if, right? That wasn't that a bigger concern when many of you were growing up, or when people knew where the fallout shelters were? You think, what's going to happen in our world? And this passage points out some ways in which we're to think. And Paul is encouraging Timothy in his warfare. And the warfare that he's involved in isn't shooting a gun or a tank or firing missiles. It's a spiritual warfare, isn't it? There's a warfare that's to be won not in our fleshly efforts. And that is where we turn most of the time, isn't it? What can I get done? What can I do? How can I get at this? And I got to tell you, sometimes we turn to our abilities at any turn. I can get this done. I can do this. And I want you to notice what Paul encourages Timothy to do in a time of battle, in a time of difficulty with situations. And one thing I must not be as a Christian in uncertain and emotional times, I must not be unbiblical in my thinking. Can I just challenge you about that, church? I need to filter how I'm going to think through what the Word of God says. Do you ever get challenged to not do that? Is it a challenge to think, that's okay for Bible and Sunday and church, Pastor, but I've got the rest of the week and the world's cares and all the things going on? No, I need to think biblically in all of it and how I respond to all of it and how I look at leadership in the world and even here at home. And I shared this passage about a year ago when President Biden became president, and how much turmoil and somewhat angst there was amongst many during that time. Many of you remember that, right? Wasn't that a challenging time? And I don't know if you remember, but I encourage you from this passage how to pray for President Biden, because I do believe that's our responsibility, to pray for those in authority. Now, does that mean I agree with all authorities? No, by saying to you tonight, how do you pray for President Putin or Xi Jinping? Doesn't mean I agree with them. Don't ever think that by my mentioning this tonight. It means the Bible gives me a way that I am to think about them and how I can pray specifically for those in authority. Do you know that God has a way that he wants you to respond to authority that is wrong? He does. And this passage gives us helpful instruction for that. And so let's look tonight at this passage and consider some areas that we ought to consider. Would you do this with me? Would you pray right now as I pray that God would help our minds to be clear and to be obedient to what this passage teaches and to be encouraged? This is an encouraging passage for us to consider. Father, I pray tonight that you would strengthen us around difficult times with the comfort that you've directed, not just a Timothy in a difficult day like he lived, but each of us. And whatever is going to take place in the world or in our part of the world, I pray, Lord, that you'll help our focus keep coming back to what is it that you desire for us in the warfare that we're in? What is it that this is about, and what do you want us to be thinking about through difficult times? Help us, Lord, to understand this passage and to be an encouragement to one another with it as well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, really basic outline tonight. Let me ask you, number one, when am I to pray? When you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, after speaking of the warfare that he's mentioned in chapter 1, verse 18, and that he would fight a good fight, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, what is it he encourages him towards in verse number 1 of chapter 2? I exhort, therefore, first of all. So number one, when am I to pray? And I would say first of all, but let me encourage you to consider the beginning of that I exhort portion. That word exhort is the idea of parakaleo. It's to implore, to call near. It's an invitation to something, but it's a, this is how you do this. Come along. This is the way for help to be found. And I do mean this to you, church. I want to help you in difficult times. Come to the place that God wants you to come to, which is to come before him in prayer. First of all, the very first thing I'm to do. You know, if my focus is misplaced in times of challenge and trouble, what happens? You know, chapter number 1, verse 19 says, holding faith and a good conscience. And then it says, which some having put away concerning what? Faith. Have made, what's the next word? Shipwreck. What happens when people don't keep focus on the right thing? Can there be destructive things that follow? There absolutely are. And have you ever seen destructive things happen when Christians don't keep their focus in the right place? That can happen in a Christian's life. Destruction and discouragement and even harm to others and the need for discipline in the body of Christ. There's no desire on any of us to see someone continuing on in a way that is apart from what the Bible teaches. But if that takes place, will there be damaging effects in their life? Yes. And will God use that, and will he chasten those who are his to get them back? He absolutely will. But can I encourage you? The way to avoid destructive things taking place in the life of believers is to maintain and continue on in faith and a good conscience, he says, holding faith in a good conscience. And he says in verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I believe this is an essential for us. The first thing, the basics of things to be done, the foundational thing for you and I to do, it's not for us to consider, well, how can we get Putin out of Ukraine? Isn't that sometimes what people look to, is how can I address the most urgent thing? That may be the thing to be praying for, but can I encourage you to be praying specifically for what this passage goes on? In praying in faith, depending upon God, trusting him, what is more important than the economy here in America not collapsing? Can I ask you that question? Because your hearts may be wondering. I've seen the stock markets doing this, right? What is more important than that? First of all, what should I be doing? I should be living in dependence in prayer, in faith. And you say, well, that's easy to say, Pastor, but how am I going to? And then we start to answer all the things for ourselves, don't we? How am I going to take care of this and take care of this and take care of this and take care of this? That's why number one is what? Prayer. Because I don't know how to take care of all those things. The people in Ukraine right now don't know how to take care of all the things they're facing either. I've had a number of missionaries that I went to college with that I've been observing how they've been dealing with all the things. And you know what they're asking? God, how do I get through this thing and this thing? And they're asking God for direction. And they're asking God for direction even about how they help other people. You know what? The very first thing ought to be in my times of difficulty and trouble and in the warfare that we face spiritually is I don't know how. God, help me. I've mentioned this on Wednesday night about the matter of praying. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. But the very first thing that he implores them to do here is, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And we must be a people who go to God first with prayer. And I would say, seeing that first is more important than getting all the things done that we want to get done. It's really easy for us to get, I want this to happen and this to happen and this to happen and this to happen. Then God, I'm trusting you with all of the circumstances involved. You remember Abraham when he was told that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed? Remember what he does? The first thing that he does, he's asking for the deliverance of who? The righteous people in those places, those cities. That was the heartbeat. He was caring for other people. He was caring for those who were in that place. And it wasn't that he was in opposition to God's wrath on wickedness whatsoever, but for the deliverance of the righteous, deliverance of people, and really a heartbeat for those people to be safe, for there to be peace for those individuals. You know that safety and peace that we can do something is what Paul's going to mention next. Notice with me, secondly, not only when am I to pray, first of all, but secondly, who do I pray for? And far better than worrying and anxiety and hand-wringing, I can go to God in prayer. And I tell you, that's a marvelous thing. When I don't know what's going on or how things will end up, when am I to pray? And then who do I pray for? Verse 1 says, for all men. Among the people that I'm to pray for is everyone. And that's important because isn't it easy to pick just the people we want to pray for? In the scriptures, there's repeated in the New Testament, in the epistles, it's Jew and Gentile, it's rich and poor. It's not just the class that you're in or that you like. The gospel's impact is across everyone, isn't it? Aren't you thankful for that? The attitude that I ought to have as a Christian ought be the same regarding prayer. There ought be not a, God, I just want the people who I like to get what I want them to get, but a prayer that extends beyond just the people that I like or that I want. And dictators in other countries and rulers who are doing evil are going to be among those who I'm supposed to pray for. Now, I'm to pray for them for something specific. And I want you to notice that. We're to pray for not just all men, but verse number 2 says, for kings. And for all that are in authority, we're to pray for the Vladimir Putins and the Zelenskys, the president of Ukraine, for President Biden, for every single one of the other rulers of our world, and much is at stake during our time. And I will tell you, those leaders, those kings, though they think often that they are great and that they can do anything, look back at chapter 1 and verse 17, because I think it's important. As Paul is talking about this warfare and the kings that are involved in things in this world, he has just told Timothy in his letter something that ought to be a great encouragement to every one of us. Look at chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto thee, what's the next word? King. And what's the word that follows? Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. While I pray for authorities that are here on this earth, Paul has not forgotten, nor should I, that God is over all of that. The praying for the authorities that are in situations right now, let me remind you, they are not dictators of everything. They have limits, don't they? Will they die? Yeah, God doesn't. Is God able to take care of us even when dictators and rulers are not doing what's right? That attitude is not, okay, well, God says pray for dictators, but but that's the only thing. No, no. I have an understanding that I see God is over all. He is sovereign over all. He is ruler over all. But yet he calls on us to pray for leaders who are on this world. And he says in chapter 2, verse 2, for kings and all that are in authority, I'm to pray for these individuals. Well, that's when I pray and who do I pray for? What am I praying for, Pastor? What is it I'm supposed to pray for? Every kid in here can know when trouble comes, I'm supposed to do what? Number one thing, first of all, when we're in the warfare that we're in spiritually, what's the first thing we're supposed to do? We're supposed to pray. Well, who am I supposed to pray for? Well, for all men and for kings. What am I supposed to pray for, Pastor? What am I praying for? God bless the rulers. Don't pray that way. Okay, we're not praying for blessing on President Putin or on any dictator. We're not praying for God's blessing on them. What am I praying for? What does the Bible say? Verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 2, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What am I praying for? The object of our prayer in these times of difficulty is the continuation of the gospel and gospel living. The effectiveness of the gospel life in our day is that we would pray for the spread of the gospel by our life and by our word. Because it goes on and says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Do you want to pray in the will of God? This tells you right here what is good and acceptable. What is it that God wants you to pray for right now? Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? Okay, so what am I praying for, Pastor? I would start off with this. I want to live godly. Isn't that what he says? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I want to live godly no matter the circumstances. Now, does that ever get to be hard? Do you think Timothy might find it hard? Do you think there might be some challenge to living godly when circumstances come up? You know, are we to pray for conflict? No, obviously not. Pray for peaceful conduct with all men, with leaders, with your neighbors, with your relatives, with brothers and sisters in the home. By the way, kids, is there ever a time where there's challenge in the home? Sure. Sure there is. Okay, what's your prayer? God, I want to live godly. Would that be a good thing, by the way, to pray? Mom and dad aren't dealing with this. Okay, are they in authority? Yeah? Can you still pray, God, I want, above everything else, to live a peaceable life in all godliness? That doesn't mean that we don't deal with problems. But what is the end goal? Because sometimes we want problems to be resolved so that we look good, not so that I can live godly. Can I say that again? Sometimes we want problems resolved so we can look good, not so that we can live godly. There's a big difference, isn't there? What is the goal? What is the goal in Ukraine? What is the goal in this world today? Is it that capitalism rules the world? No, what the goal is that you and I are able to live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and by that, the world's impacted with the gospel. It really is all about that, isn't it? Is the world's financial system the only way for you to be able to live a godly life? If you have success and the economy doesn't crash, then I can... You know what? If the world falls apart and gas prices go up to $5 a gallon, if more conflict spreads in Europe, can you still be godly? Now think about that for a minute. Can you still be God? Yeah, but I'm going to really be unhappy. Your godliness may be coming into question. I'm being serious because this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? How much has your godliness been under? Okay, that's not what that's talking about, Pastor. No, I believe that your response to difficulty always is the question. Always. In the home, in the workplace, in our culture. Do you not see how much everyone in our world thinks it's okay to respond with a grumpy attitude about everything going on? That's not how a Christian's supposed to operate. That's not how I'm to operate. Doesn't mean I like it. Oh, yay, gas is $10 a gallon. No, that's not what I mean. But can I be godly in my response? Can I live with a godly response? And that's what I believe the challenge is. I don't know what took place with Hymenaeus and Alexander, but I do know this. They have not stayed in faith living. That's what there's a point here about. Holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You live without dependency upon God in your life, you will find shipwreck comes. Whether gas is cheap or expensive, you live without a constant dependence upon God for the right way to respond in trouble and difficulties, and it'll cause trouble. It'll cause you trouble. It'll cost you. You don't have to live in that kind of a turmoil. And I don't know all that Paul and Timothy were thinking of when this was being written, but you know that there were Neros of the day who were horrible leaders. And he's saying, pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. You know, I want to be alert to distractions that might pull away me from faith and a good conscience. Do you ever see stuff starting to pull at you and just starting to, okay, what do? I'm to pray. Okay, I want to live godly. I think that's a good place for you to pray. I want to live, I'm praying for authority that I can lead a quiet and peaceable life. And sometimes we focus on praying for peace. And that's true. But it's not just for peace as an end so that everything is happy, happy. It's peace in a way that I will live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God's desire is for you living godly. You living in honesty. Not that you have no trouble. Can you understand that? It's so that you will live in a way that is pleasing to Him, that reflects Him. And then as well, not only a prayer for my living godly, but notice as well, verses 4 through 8, that I can pray. I want to see other people be saved through this difficulty. I want to see other people come to faith in Christ. I want to see that. I want to live godly, and I want to be able to declare Christ. Verse number 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. That's an interesting statement after just saying in all godliness and honesty, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a preacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You hear these emphases on being honest and being truthful. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Clean. The idea is not holding up your hands like this, okay? As some people think. The idea is without any kind of guilt or any kind of something on my hands. You ever said they've got blood on their hands? Well, the idea of any kind of there's something to be shown in their actions and that doesn't match up with what they're saying. You and I are consistent with what we say we are and what we do. That's what this is about, that the gospel would go out in a time of difficulty. And that can be my prayer in Ukraine. That can be your prayer. Do you think people right now are thinking a lot more about eternity? Yeah. Do you think that right now in America people are thinking a lot more about eternity? And about their soul, and about their relationship with God, and about my response to all the things that are going to happen? People are watching. You know, if a Christian can observe a Mr. Bronner inside the church, do you think the world's watching you every single day of the week? How you respond? How you talk about this? Parents, I know we often talk about Sunday nights being our family basics, but your kids are watching you. They parrot everything you think and say, don't they? Are they saying things that are your desire is to live godly? Do you hear your kids saying, I want to live godly? I want to please God in my decisions. You know, they'll start saying that more if they hear you praying that more. Grandparents, you can pray that way with your grandkids. It doesn't have to be anything forced or anything unusual, but just, God, I want to be a godly grandpa. I want to be a godly grandmother. I want to please you. And God, I want my life to help others see Jesus Christ. I want what I say to match up with what I do. I believe on Christ, and I live depending on Christ. I want those things to not be at odds, no matter what's going on in life. That's two really simple prayer requests. God, I want to live a godly life, and God, I want to see other people saved. Now, how do I pray? How do I pray? Look back at verse 1. It says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Supplications are requests. They're petitions, and there's a specific kind of petition that we're asking for. We're asking that we can live peaceably with all men and lead a peaceable and quiet life, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I'm asking for that. Be specific in your prayers. I'm petitioning you, God, that I can lead a life that is godly. I'm petitioning you, God, that I can live a life that's quiet and peaceable, that I'm not in conflict in any way as I go through the troubles. And again, quiet and peaceable doesn't mean without troubles. Sometimes we think, well, I'm asking God for no troubles. No, it's how I'm going to go through those things. Can you be in times of trouble and still have peace? Yeah. I've watched that in you all. Many of you have gone through some deep and dark water, valleys, troubles. And I've watched you, and I've seen that what it is to learn and more to grow in that. And you've been a help to your pastor in that. We need to encourage each other in that. There's a lot that I can carry that I don't have to. And I can give my request, my petitions to God. He says prayers, that attitude of worship, of coming to God. It really is an act of honor to bring anything to God. Do you know that? When you pray, you are giving honor to God because you didn't look to yourself. You know, in Romans 1, those individuals that were in ungodliness and unrighteousness, they weren't giving honor and respect to God. But whenever you pray to the God who made you, you are directing your focus and your attention, and that gives honor to Him. You know that? Isn't that a precious thing to consider? Every single time you pray, You're giving God the place of worth that He deserves. I don't think we often think of that. We often pray, and it's okay to be quick in our praying. But remember, when you kids ask your parents for help about anything, you're honoring your parents. You know that? If my kids went over to the neighbor two doors down and said, I'm hungry, do you think I would feel very honored by that? No. No, I'd feel very like I've failed. I've not been... What's the problem here? When they ask, and when they even ask with a respectful attitude, they show honor to their parents. And I thank the Lord when my kids ask with honor and respect. You know, when I pray, that's what I'm doing. I'm coming to God because He's not only listening, but He desires for us to come to Him. He desires for us to bring our needs. And can you pray for world leaders in other places like Putin, knowing you speak to God about that situation? You absolutely can. And God wants you to bring Vladimir Putin, the Chinese president, our president, to Him. You won't hear that on talk radio, by the way. And I mean this with all my heart. be careful of how your heart gets stirred against people rather than praying for people. Be careful of how your heart gets stirred against people. There's a lot of things you ought to be against that those men do. Don't hear me wrong. Be against what they're doing that's wrong. But don't stop praying for those men. Does that make sense? It's really easy for us to forget. God tells us here to pray for all that are in authority. Not to agree with what they do. Do you hear the difference? But I am to have an attitude that says, God, I bring this individual who may well be bringing me harm. And in a very indirect way, are we feeling effects or will we feel effects from Putin's actions? Sure. The people in Ukraine most certainly are right now, aren't they? His own country will. But do you recognize and do you see that I can pray to God about those situations and pray specifically for God's working in that individual, that man, that we might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and recognizing that God's desire is that people come to a knowledge of his Son and salvation in him. The verse 1 says, in supplications, prayers, and then intercessions. The word means a meeting. There's an interaction taking place with God. There's fellowship with God. Do you fellowship with God about your problems? Fellowship with God. You know, sometimes I'll meet up with someone, and don't assume if I ask you, hey, let's go meet for coffee or a drink, there's a problem. But I often will meet up with someone, and there's something that I want to discuss with them. And I consider those times, if this ever happens with you, to not be about me being right and you being wrong, but about our fellowshipping with them about the situation. There's a huge difference about that, you know. We oftentimes are very intimidated about fellowshipping with someone about problems. If you want to give a good definition of biblical counseling, I would say discipleship or fellowshipping with another person who is in Christ about a problem and looking to God's word for the answer. Fellowship? Yeah, because what takes place? A sharing. You know what I do when I pray and there's intercessions? There's a sharing that's going back and forth. And I got to get more in this place where I'm sharing my problems with God. And kids, you can do this. Okay, kids, every kid in here can do this. You can intercede with God. You can fellowship with God about your problems. You really need to learn how to do that. Isn't it easy to fellowship with other people about your problems? You know, kids, go to the other kids and like, do you know what they just did to me, right? Can you believe they did this to me? Or Christians can do this with other Christians. Or, you know, a man can do this at his workplace with another man talking about his home or his wife. Which is not what God wants. I'm just going to throw that out there as something you should know. God doesn't want you to fellowship with other people about those problems before you've ever fellowshipped with him about that problem. And listening to all kinds of opinions and ideas that have nothing to do with what God says, when you could have and ought first, go to him. Say, God, here's our problem. Here's the situation. What do you want to do? What's your desire? And he says in verse 1, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, a gratitude, a thankfulness. Do you ever thank God even during difficult times? How do you thank God when Ukraine is being attacked and Europe may blow up and the rest of the world doesn't know what's going to happen? How do you thank God during that time? I remember the story of Daniel in Daniel 6, and it says in Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, his death warrant, basically, that if he prayed, he would be in trouble. And the Bible says he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. He gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God, knowing even what's going to possibly happen. And the Bible says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. He kept on doing and thanking God, even when he knows it may cost him. Are you ready, Christian, to keep thanking God when it may cost you? When things are not easy? That is so counter to us. How do I thank God if things aren't going well? How do I thank God when problems have come? Friend, the reason I can thank God is because I know that God is working all things together for his good. I can't put that all together. I can't see how that all fits. But you just read in chapter 1, verse number 17, that he is King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God. You know, that's a pretty important thing to put together there. I'm not all wise. I'm not. There are so many troubles that I wish to say, I wish I could figure that out, but I can't. I just can't. And it's not my job to. What am I to pray for? That we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I do thank God for who he is, that he is the eternal God. I thank God that he is immortal, invisible, only wise, and he's the one that I need to keep giving honor and glory to. Paul has said that himself, and now he encourages Timothy to do that. And he encourages him to do it so that he'll continue on in godliness, in faith, and that he'll continue on seeing that God has a purpose in his being here, which is that in this battle, in this warfare, we're declaring to people who Jesus Christ is. We're declaring to them the gospel. Do you and I know what God's going to do through the challenges in Ukraine? I absolutely don't. Can I trust God with that? Now, I know this is super simple, but I want to challenge you. That's how you can pray for the situation that's going on in the world this week. Because otherwise, you'll sit and think, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How am I going to get through this? What's going to happen to da-da-da-da-da-da-da? I've got to keep bringing this before God and saying, God, I know who you are, and I know you want me to pray specifically that I can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Is that what your desire is, church? God, I want to live godly, and God, I want to give the gospel. I want to keep on sharing what you've done. That's my heart. That's what I know you want. Does God want you to live godly? Yeah. Let's ask him for that. Would you do that with me tonight? Those two prayer requests. God, I want to live godly in a time of unknowns and trials and difficulties, that quiet and peaceable life. I want that to be demonstrated out of my life when everything is a wreck, when everything is unknown. If things crumble in America or if they don't, if things crumble with my relationships with other people or my challenges, God, I'm going to trust you. I want to live a godly life. And secondarily, God, I believe that you desire for people to be saved, that you want other people to see that he gave himself a ransom for all. You know, if I'm praying for all, including kings, can I pray for those individuals to be saved? I know when I was a kid, we prayed for presidents. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over the idea of praying for those who are in authority, that they would come to see Christ. Is God able to save sinners? Okay, then. Let's pray for all men, that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to calm our hearts as we look at world leaders who are doing things that seem to be erratic and dangerous, as we look at leaders that want to conquest other nations, as we recognize even our own freedoms in our nation may come into question more than they already have, and the concerns and agendas of this nation are changing. Help us, Lord, to keep asking and depending upon you for what it is you want us to do. You want us to remain faithful in the warfare. God, I thank you for this challenge from your word. I pray that you'll help us to live a godly life. I pray for each young person and adult in here that tonight they'll commit to praying that way. God, my desire is to live a godly life. I want to live in faith, depending upon you. I want to have a good conscience in doing so. I don't want to have anything that would be a distraction to the truth and the gospel and what you've done. I want to live in full faith and be on clear display of that. And God, I pray that we would see a harvest of souls. I pray that we would see, because of our response in these times, people see that Jesus Christ is the answer, that he is the ransom given, that he is the life, the truth, and the way.